You probably know that I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, having victory over porn, and my name is Paul. I'm so glad we ended with that song, because we're talking gratitude tonight, and that said, I am no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. And boy, is there anything to be gracious about that would be, grateful about that would be it. So we're looking at lesson 22, which is gratitude. So we're going to read the principles, the principle and the steps, and the one verse that goes with both. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and power to carry that out. In the verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. So we've been on principle 7 for 3 lessons prior to this one. Lesson 19, and we were kind of in those lessons working on ourselves. Lesson 19, we were continuing to take a personal inventory, and including a daily journaling as a tool. And then in lesson 20, we were determining that we were going to take an inventory continuously, either on an ongoing basis or a daily basis or a periodic basis, or all three. So lesson 20, then lesson 21 was about relapse and how to help prevent it and deal with it honestly. So now in lesson 22, we're going to look outwardly to have an attitude of gratitude. In Colossians, Paul talks a lot about thankfulness. In Colossians 1:3, he says this, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So Paul is turning his prayers outward to the people he had met. Gratitude, Google defines gratitude as thankfulness for good and for the source of goodness. So God uses a lot of sources of goodness to show us good and to inspire us to gratitude. James 1:17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So gratitude is the process of recognizing good and praising God. This reminds us of God's expectations for us when he says in Matthew 5:16, when Jesus says this, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So in a moment, I want to draw attention to some things we can be thankful for. In the handout, which I, oh, there it is, it has two sides. The gratitude side, which are the fill-ins, and on the other side, there's a gratitude list. So as we go through this, we're going to look at each one of those fill-ins and look at those gratitude lists. So, but in terms of our overall growth, here's a couple of questions, especially for Principle 7, that are worth thinking about in general terms. Are you talking to God each day? Are you examining your life daily? Are you reading the truth of the Bible daily? Do you know God better today than last year? Do you see God's power in you, giving hope and strength and sobriety? And can others see your good works so that God gets the glory? Now think on those things. I read them pretty fast, but each of these things will help all of us with gratitude towards God and towards others. So your handout lists these 4 areas of thankfulness. The first one is, the fill-in is, be thankful to God. The verse there is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I also like verse 7, which is not printed there, that says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's look at the gratitude list. The first section, that's on the other page, the first section says, I'm thankful to God. And I just want to give you some of the things about God that I'm thankful for. Number one, God clearly wants us to understand him. He provided the Bible, the Word of God. That's why Principle 7 says to set aside time daily for Bible reading. This is critically important for our recovery and our walk with God. The second thing, God offers us eternal life through Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is a really good deal. All we have to do is believe and we get eternal life. I've been meditating on the thought that as believers, we don't have to wait for eternal life. We're in eternal life right now if we're believers. And I'm meditating on how that fact should affect my daily life. Number three, I'm thankful for God sending the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then James 4:5 says, that God jealously desires the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. He really wants to be with us, wants us to be with him. Number four, I'm thankful for his forgiveness. We have a tendency to live without regard to God. And knowing that this is our tendency, God says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So those are just a couple of things that I'm thankful for as I read this. So take some time this week using that gratitude list and put down some of the reasons that you have for being thankful to God. The next fill-in is be thankful for others. The verse is Colossians 3:15-16. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. I like that translation that's written there. That's the one that's written on your sheet. None of this going off and doing your own thing. So the reason I like that phrase, or it convicts me, it's a perfect description of me prior to CR. So in Vietnam, I had one close friend for the first time in my life. When I got home, I went right back to doing my own thing, and that really helped feed my addiction. So for the next 30 years, I really had no male friends that I could go to for help. But I've learned through Celebrate Recovery, through small groups and step studies, the value of having close friendships. It's like gold. We come together around Christ. It's one of the things that makes us say that we are grateful believers. So on the gratitude list, the second section on the other side, I'm thankful for God. First, I'm thankful for God placing others in my life. That's the title. My list has to start with my wife, and not just because she's sitting there, but I really feel that way. So, but now my list includes CR sponsors, all the guys in my small group where we share our issues together, and then the guys that I help sponsor who enable me to grow as well. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I'll list my kids and grandkids who know how to push all my buttons and do it regularly. And that's a learning curve thing. Take some time this week. Fill out that part of the list, who you're thankful for in your life. So back to the other side. The next one is, be thankful for my recovery. The verse is Hebrews 12:1. All of us, as for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. That particular verse follows, that's Hebrews 12:1, follows Hebrews 11, which in my Bible has the heading, The Triumphs of Faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So in our recovery program, we have 8 principles and 12 steps, and we know that they're important and fantastic, but the real source of the power is faith, is our faith in God. Then we please him, and then he rewards us in our recovery. Without faith, God would not have provided me with self-control to enable me to have victory over porn. I had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. And Hebrews 11 is a list of examples of faith and can inspire us to hold on to our faith while we're in our recovery. Here are some of the examples. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. She was in her 90s, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 17, Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, which sounds very familiar. And verse 19, the reason was he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. In verse 22 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. That one's pretty interesting, because that's a faith thing, that he cared about where his bones would end up. I kind of like that one. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Verse 33 and 34, it's talking about prophets of Israel. By faith, they conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong. Verses 36 and 38, there's this large group of other people. And others experienced mocking and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Read the rest of Hebrews 11, but this is what Hebrews 12 is referring to. We have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That sounds like recovery to me. So I read all that just to say that we need to run our recovery race with faith, and we need to be thankful for it. So the third section on the gratitude list, I'm thankful for my recovery program. Here's what I thought of. Number one, for me, I'm thankful for the efforts put in by John Baker at Saddleback to develop Celebrate Recovery. I'm thankful that we are clear that our higher power is Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the men who listened to my answers when I was in step study and trying to break away from pornography. Number four, I'm thankful for Rolling Hills, who supports this ministry and provides so much for us. And last, I'm thankful for the honest feedback that I receive from many of you faithful people and for the efforts of all those in service positions, in the kitchen, the band, small group leaders, and on and on. So thank you. The last fill-in is, be thankful for my church. The verse is Psalm 104, enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. I know that many of us, myself included, have been hurt in some way by our experience in church. My father was a pastor, and I had to go twice on Sundays and on Wednesday night. I went to church business meetings, and I saw bickering, and I saw heated conversations that to me seemed hypocritical, so much so that I vowed to leave church when I left home. That's enough of that stuff for me. And I did just that for the next 16 years. So I came back to the church through Christ and through Bible reading at age 33. And I got back into the church. And I've been in many churches since. And without exception, I could be sitting in any church. I could look around and say, this place is just full of sinners. So, there's no question in my mind that the church in history has done damage to itself, things like the Crusades, and there's a thread of legalism in parts of the church that emphasizes the need to work your way to heaven and emphasizes calling out sinners, especially the ones that are the really bad ones, which I guess might include all of us because of where we are. But I would encourage you to think about church in the way the Bible does. In Matthew 16:18, Christ says to Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul says to members of the Corinthian church, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed apostles and prophets, and he lists others. The church is the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:23 through 29. The church is subject to Christ, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. So if Christ thought this way about the church, and Christ is our higher power, then we need to think this way about the church. So if you're not in a church, you should consider seeking one out. And if you find one where the sinners overwhelm the truth, then find another one. And when you find one that isn't like that, and just remember that all of us are sinners as well. So the last section of the gratitude list on the other side is, I'm thankful for my church. So my list, I'll say the following about my church, which is Rolling Hills Community Church. Number one, I'm thankful for Rolling Hills' outreach to the community through meals and cold weather shelters and lunch buddies at the local elementary school and other things like that. Number two, I'm thankful for Rolling Hills, their active involvement in supporting the value of CR. Three, I'm thankful that they allowed me to get up on Sunday morning and speak about my porn habit. I think I said porn, I'm not sure. And about my recovery. And people really appreciated the transparency. And then four, and more than anything else, I'm thankful that Rolling Hills puts Jesus Christ at the top of all it does. So I urge you to take time this week and think about how you are thankful for your church. And if you're not engaged in a church, I urge you to find one where Christ's love outweighs sin. And remember that an attitude of gratitude is one of the best preventions for relapse. And I'll close with this one last verse, which is on the bottom of your handout. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's pray together. Thank you, God, for all that you are and for all that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.